On this episode of the Cooligans, all we talk so much, U.S. men's national team, passports get lost from our opponents. Plus, a Mexican coach takes a can on the head. And we talk about NWSL. Oh, my God, penalties.
The playoffs are wilder than the NWSL. We also are joined by the one and only Stephen Fry, goalkeeper for the Seattle Sounders. He has a big game coming up this weekend against LAFC. We talk all about it. And his giant hands. His hands are ridiculous, everybody. So all this and more today on the Cooligans. Well, at least we got to see Mike Tyson's cheeks, everybody. How great was that? How lovely.
Bro, that's the second embarrassing thing that happened to him that night.
I feel like that was worse than the match itself. I mean, I'm not here to necessarily body shame.
No.
But this felt like something wildly unnecessary.
It also felt like it was like a scripted comedy.
Yes.
Everything that happened.
And then when, a few minutes later, Netflix posts a tweet with the clip like, yo, look at this. And
only happens here.
I mean, what has television become? What has boxing? Get Ariel Helwani in here, because what are we doing?
Yeah.
A 58-year-old man fighting against a 27-year-old.
Where was the dude from the clips we were watching? This dude was mashing up the guy who had the pads on his waist.
Yeah, it's it was just sad. The highlight of the evening was the fight before it between
Serrano
the two women
and the Irish girl.
I forgot her name.
Heba, old Ram's head. Yo, Serrano got robbed.
Seeing that flap of skin open more and more throughout every round,
does
I'm like,
everyone else's face have a second mouth now above your eye?
What are we doing?
How
bro?
Cool was the moment though after the fight when the trainer comes on, the old, you know, Puerto Rican dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Who goes? He goes. What is it, Terry? What was her name? Terry.
I don't remember.
I can't remember the lady he was fighting, but he goes, she's a, we've met her before. She's a wonderful lady. She's a beautiful woman, but she's a cheater and she got a big head. And I was like, that might be the most Puerto Rican structured sentence of all time.
Love it. Yeah, that fight was great. I think that the whole Jake Paul Tyson thing, it just really tells us.
Every Jake Paul fight is like this. But believe the hype until you get there and you're like, why did I waste my time?
It just tells us something about society as a whole. Mm. You know what I mean? And I love that. Obviously, there were a lot of Puerto Ricans there supporting Serrano, but Jake Paul is he lives in Puerto Rico.
He lives in Dorado, the same town as my uncle.
And it's not because he just loves the culture.
No, it's a tax haven.
Yeah. That Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico changed the rules a couple years ago so that rich people could go there and keep the majority of their money.
Exactly.
And so Jake Paul took advantage of that.
Yeah, he's not like, hey, Boricua. He's not doing that.
He's not like, me, gente. He's not doing none of that. Nah. He's like, my gente.
So that was wild. So we're excited to be back, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And we out here, as always, on Yahoo Sports. I love Alexis looking like, what's that, Mark Rebier, the guy
with the microphone?
With the microphone and you, a little bored. All right, good for you, buddy.
I'm having a little fun. You guys like it? Let me know. I'll remix it again.
We're back. We have a lot to discuss. U.S. men's national team played their game against Jamaica.
International breaks give us no break. I don't know what happens.
There is no break. Not for the Cooligans.
This sport is perpetual.
Also, we were at Soccer X last week. So that's why we weren't in studio, but we did have an episode, the Troy Deeney episode.
Finally dropped.
Was a hit. Everybody.
A thud was heard amongst the industry, bro. We got so many compliments.
A lot of compliments, a lot of messages, a lot of DMs. People sliding in the DMs to be kind to us.
You know what? I'm going to play the voice note that we got.
Oh, okay.
You cool with that?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
He might be a little embarrassed.
As long as it's not, violating some sort of confidentiality.
You know, one of my favorite memes is like the this is what a real a dolphin really sounds like. And this guy's like, yeah, girl. I'm just-
yeah, that's
you know what I'm talking about? Yes. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite genres of memes. This is our buddy Yvonne, who many of you may know from Montreal and Ringleaders. And he's just a big supporter of the show. It was actually his birthday. So happy birthday, hey,
happy
Yvonne.
Birthday, man. Happy dude. Birthday. We hung out at the EAFC event a couple weeks ago.
A gem of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
This is a message I got from him.
Alexis, sorry, I'm just 7 minutes in your Hooligans episode with Troy Deeney, and it sounds very promising. It's a you guys are insane. You guys are amazing. And this conversation, I don't know where it's going to take me or took where it took you, but it's a wonderful one so far. So just wanted to share that with you. I'm driving, so I'm listening. I'm catching up on all the shows right now. So cheers, man. Hope everything's well.
Look at that. 7 minutes in.
Guys, like, this is so good. I need to send a voice note. So, and that's one of many that yes, like messages that I received. And it's
shout out again to Troy Deeney for coming through. He did not have to do that. And that
he
was
did
really,
not.
That was really, really cool of him.
We weren't even sure he was actually going to show up until midway through the Bradley Wright Phillips interview.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you again, Troy Deeney. So go check out that episode if you have not yet. We were at SoccerX, which is our first time there as well, which is like basically a soccer like business conference.
Yeah, it's a lot of business happening. A lot of suits.
Exactly.
And, a lot of suits. And we
were not wearing suits.
Absolutely not. Nor were we wearing sensible shoes. A lot of sensible shoes in the room.
We bumped into a couple folks. Gucci Onyewu was there. We're going to be talking about USM.
He looks good, man.
How does he look younger?
Bro, he looks less stressed. You are in charge of stuff at US Soccer right now.
So it was great seeing him and all those folks. So shout out to everybody.
You can tell when someone walks up to us and knows us. He's one of those people that like, oh, these guys are crazy, but I gotta go say hello. He shakes our hand with the, what are they gonna say about me now?
They're gonna do something.
All right, we gotta go, the clowns are here, you know?
We're like the little brother to Oguchi and Yewa.
It feels like
he's
that.
Like annoyed that he had to bring us along.
All right, mom says you gotta be here. Don't do nothing stupid. Your friend Alexis better not touch us.
Shout out to everybody at SoccerX who also came up to us and were also very complimentary. Said
so many
kind
people.
Words about the show. But today, I also got to mention, our guest today is spectacular. We're going to be joined by a goalkeeper for the Seattle Sounders, Stephen Fry.
We'll
be
chatting
with us in just a little bit to talk about the upcoming playoff match against LAFC this Saturday. And so we have a great conversation with him. So be on the lookout for that.
He's a wonderful human being.
USMNT. Let's get right to it because they played their game at Kingston.
Should we do a little vibe check?
What's the vibe check? What we're checking?
How you feeling about Mauricio Pochettino so far?
The vibes cartel are good. You know what
I mean? Oh, okay. Okay.
So we are having a good time. I think this is a game. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I saw somebody else post this on Twitter. That with this win for Mauricio Pochettino, it is he has tied Greg Berhalter in I believe it's like competitive matches, not friendlies, in away games. Yeah. So Greg Berhalter in his entire time only won one away match in a competitive match that was not a friendly.
That's not a good.
That's not a good.
That's not a good look. That's not a good stat if you are a Triple G head. You know what I mean?
But what I'm happy about is not only the win, but the way we won, right? The way that it's a 1-0 victory, scrapped, crazy things happened throughout the game, the penalty.
Worrying trend for me in that game, but I'll reveal that in a second.
It says a lot to keep this clean sheet, not only for Matt Turner, but for the entire team. I mean, you saw Yunus Musa get that tackle in the end, late in the game to you know, keep it
goal line clearance.
Yeah. Just remark. I mean, it was like a goal line clearance / tackle. I think I forgot who the player was that. Ooh, I mean, it was a tap in,
right.
and Musa like stuck his legs in between the other guy's legs to clear the ball. It was remarkable,
right?
But it just
playing
says a
twister.
It says a lot about the team and just the heart, you know, and
also the intensity, which seemingly had. you know, kind of gone away under Greg Berhalter. You didn't see the intensity as much. I think the best we saw was when BJ Callahan was in charge. They seemed more intense, more exciting. Yeah. So you're looking at the 2-11s here.
The lineup also and the formation, mixing things up. I mean, I was a little
confused when Johnny Cardoso goes out with a knock. They bring in Malik Tillman. I'm thinking, oh, okay, he's going to slide in a Musa spot. Musa slides back into a more defensive role, more central midfielder, where we've seen him before. That did not happen.
Not at all.
You know?
We got the goal from Ricardo Pepi early in the game. We're at the fifth minute, I believe.
Yeah.
And
probably miss hit, but whatever. It still counts.
I don't know. I mean,
that felt a little shanked, but it still went in.
Sure, off the post and in. But the ball from Pulisic to...
Beautiful.
Just great awareness. I mean,
like Pulisic centrally. There's a lot of positives. Here's my...
See, I don't, but continue.
I think he's more effective centrally in moments. Doesn't mean he needs to be there the whole match. But the more you attack centrally, the better chances you have of goals. I mean, that's just that's why Zone 14 is called Zone 14.
Okay.
Everyone talks about it. So I'm all for getting him in that position. That's exactly where he was. But, you know, we've seen him be good on the left and good on the right. So at this point, go wherever you want, buddy. You clearly got something going.
Yeah.
Here's my worrying trend. Do you remember when Damian Lowe sends his shoulder into Christian Pulisic's back and then almost either stomps on his hand or scrapes his hand with the boot and clearly did both of those things on purpose, right?
Right, right.
That moment was clearly these boys are playing around us. We need to muddy this up a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. CONCACAF it up.
Yeah, CONCACAF it up. You know, you just got CONCACAF. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
It was that moment, and that changed the energy of the match. Momentum started to slide to Jamaica's way. Jamaica started to impose themselves a little more in that match, and that's something that I think we saw outside of matches like against England in the World Cup. There were moments where the times where the game got a little bit in the mud, a little dark arty, all of a sudden, you know, the United States men's national team would pull back. That's one of the things that I had hoped would go away with Mauricio Pochettino, someone who's Argentinian, you know, also, you know, managed in England and kind of understands you got to, you know, sometimes you got to put your feet down, you got to get in them trenches, you know what I mean? And it felt like in that moment, the U.S. didn't break, right? Because they still took care of business.
Bending a little bit.
But they bent a little more than I expected.
Sure.
The loss of momentum was, to me, a potential worrying trend. Not necessarily a worrying trend, but a potential worrying trend where if you're going up against a nation with a little bit more quality on the pitch than Jamaica, you may be punished for it more than you were here.
Okay.
Do you not see that?
This is usually in CONCACAF when U.S. plays away
or anybody plays away.
Yeah. I mean, the powerhouses in CONCACAF are U.S., Mexico, Canada.
Right.
When any of those countries play away in like Central America somewhere, it's not a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
Or, you know, same thing.
Not a warm welcome.
With Jamaica. So it's something that I think we underestimate sometimes, and we want to be more dominant than we are, but it is hard to play in these places. It's hard to play in Jamaica.
I agree.
So
to lose it in that instance, in that way.
If we were home and that happened, where like second half, we're just like, we're getting out CONCACAF and we're not controlling the game, I would be a little bit more concerned. But I'm in these away games, I'm like, get the win, get the 3 points and go home. And just, that's it. So it's like, it could be ugly.
Yeah.
And
I just love, and they
defended well enough to keep the clean sheet.
Sure.
And that's where I'm like, all right, you did it. I'm not going to be too harsh about it. Like that's sort of generally where I'm at. I mean, I would have loved another goal, but I love the, you know, when Matt Turner saved that penalty.
Huge. It's also his fault. So you kind of have to.
On Tamari Gray. but the thing that concerns me is that Matt Turner had a good game outside of, you know, giving up the penalty. But I'm just like, he's not playing anywhere. He's not getting minutes anywhere. And I'm like, so I'm happy for him playing for the national team and playing well. And I hope if he's in between the six, like, great. But then I'm like, all right, but I want him to be playing if he's going to be our guy. And now, you know, the conversations about, you know, who are the other goalkeepers that were called up?
Diego Cochin.
Diego Cochin.
Patrick Schulte.
And
Zach Steffen.
And Zach Steffen. There's four goalkeepers.
We had four goalkeepers on the bench?
Three on the bench.
Three on the bench. Sorry, three on the bench, one playing, though.
This is something where, you know, Matt Turner is not playing for his club, Crystal Palace, but playing well for the national team. Will there be conversations about the other goalkeepers getting an opportunity, even if they're not training better or whatever? There's something that it just concerns me a little too much, because if Matt Turner has a bad game and then there is a change, how confident are we in with the other goalkeepers? And then also the conversations about Matt Fries, those are getting a little bit louder. People are like,
give him a shot.
Give him an opportunity.
Right. He's playing.
Remarkably for New York City FC. And should he get an opportunity to represent the national
team?
You'd
almost say the most in form would be Patrick Schulte because of how much he's playing.
Yeah.
Even though he's out of the playoffs now, but Colorado also out of the playoffs, right? Zach Steffen behind him. At least Patrick Schulte has won a major trophy closer than anyone else. But if Matt Turner is the guy that Pochettino trusts, then you kind of got to go with him.
Yes.
But I agree with you.
There's
still moments where I'm like, you're not in the sharpest possible form.
Right, right. And then this is why I think, like, you know, even as an Everton fan and Jordan Pickford being the number one for England, he plays on a bad... He does not play on a great team, but he has to stop so many shots.
So this is what I was going to say. Remember back in the day when MLS keepers would go to Europe, they'd get chances in Europe, and they were seen as better. Do you think it's because defending was so bad they faced a lot of shots, so they were just sharper?
It doesn't.
So you must rather.
It doesn't really hurt to play on a bad team when you're a goalkeeper.
When you're a goalkeeper,
yeah, it's just like you have to take way more shots. You have to be as sharp as possible because your trash ass defenders can't keep the ball from coming at you.
Right, like if you're Ederson, you're facing one shot on frame a match,
which is why he doesn't start for Brazil, and it's Alisson.
Right.
So it's a difficult.
So come on, Diego Coach, get out of Barca and go to Southampton, dude, or Ipswich.
The second game of against Jamaica is tonight.
It's in St. Louis.
So that should be, you would expect U.S. to win this game. It shouldn't be too challenging, especially at home, especially with the news about Mikel Antonio and who's the other player?
It starts with a P. I can't remember.
Kaheem Dixon.
Oh, Dixon. That's right.
This was the report on CBS Sports Golazo. Jamaica duo Mikel Antonio, Kaheem Dixon to miss USMNT clash after losing their passports. What? I don't understand. I'm taking this as the truth. If they're saying, hey, they lost their passports.
And you would be the only one in this room.
You were immediately saying like, nah, bro.
You were shocked that both myself and Carter were like, nah, fam.
Are you telling me journalists would lie about this?
Or would be lied to?
Or would be lied to? This is, I've never heard of
By
this.
By the Jamaican Federation? No chance.
Bro. Okay.
The one who Mikel Antonio said that they were told, he told them go to the airport and they had no flight for him.
Right,
There was no ticket. And they said, well, you can afford it. Get the ticket and then we'll pay you back, and then never got paid back for it.
That's hilarious.
What, you that got no, federation would be lying?
You got no money, Mikel Antonio?
Yes. I know you ain't broke, dog. I'll see you every weekend playing.
This is kind of wild. I mean, if it's not true that they lost their passport, do you think we were talking before we started recording, it is something, some issue with the federation? You think maybe they don't even want to play?
I mean, look, I need everyone to know we are talking simply allegedly.
Alleged. We don't know.
Okay. Very alleged. Oh, I guess you don't do it twice?
I don't know what you're doing.
It just died. There it is. Allegedly. I want to make sure we hear the sound. Allegedly. Like, this is all, you know, hearsay. Not even hearsay. I'm just trying to put two and two together and make eight.
That's,
you know,
fair. I mean, look, I've been on TikTok long enough, and I see a lot of, like, dating, like, people talking about going on dates and Tinder this and blah, 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 and just their dating.
What the hell has got to do with this?
I'm just saying. Because what tends to happen, I come across women that are like, you can't trust a Jamaican man. Like these. So I'm just, I don't know. I've never dated a Jamaican man.
Not if you, and I'm going to say this in a way where we will not get blocked by, not if you have a pet cat you want to have some attention paid to it.
Right. That's the stereotype.
You get what I'm saying?
I get it.
I think you get what I'm saying.
So I don't know.
All I'm saying is it's just highly unlikely that these are professional athletes who have every... They travel quite a bit.
Yes.
It's highly unlikely that a passport would just go missing.
Yeah, so this is... who knows? But that they're not making the game, which, again, obviously favors the U.S. A lot there. The other... another story that came out of this was...
Like, if you and I went away... Remember when we went to Costa Rica?
Yes.
If you called my wife and said, Alex is not going to make it home because he lost his passport... Mm. Do you think my wife would be like, oh no, did the maid break into the safe?
What could have possibly happened?
Let's just say that would be the first thing that goes through her head.
She wouldn't be like, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hope he will be okay. It's probably what she goes there. Like, I would need actual evidence.
Yes. And nowadays, passports have like RFID. They could find these things. Bruh, this is ridiculous.
I know the holder, he's going to get as a gift a passport holder with an Apple AirTag attached to it. Say, Merry Christmas, Mikel Antonio.
The other interesting story was about, this was on Twitter, Goals TV. This was via CBS Sports, but this is about Tim Ream. And they had asked about getting tickets for friends and family. And Tim Ream's response was pretty hilarious.
Oh, this was on Scoreline.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So he was on Scoreline.
He was on Scoreline.
So they asked him about it, and he said, this may surprise some people. I've told everybody to leave me alone. It's not a friendly. I'm not taking care of 30 to 40 tickets. If you want to come see the game, go buy the tickets. They're not too expensive. And he continues saying, quote, I sorted my wife and kids. They're going to fly from Charlotte to see me play in St. Louis for the first time with the national team. They're the only ones I sorted out for this game.
How are we feeling about this?
I love the...
You got cousins like, y'all want to come see you perform.
Yes, yeah. I mean, as comics, this comes up.
This happens a lot. Clearly not at the level of playing a national team game in your home city for the first time. All due respect to Tim Ream. Really proud of you for this accomplishment. But how you feel about this? You start getting the random texts like, yo, I want to come see you. Oh, Didi called. He wants to come see you perform. How come you don't call him back?
Right.
But now you got to comp the ticket.
In general, it's my threshold. There's a number. Like, once it get past, like, I don't know, 10 people, I'm like, all right.
No. That's more than me. For me, a small table. Three?
Yeah, I can't. I'm like...
Three people is my max.
I'm trying to work...
Two couples? Come on.
I'm trying to work on my set, and I have to sort out, like,
that's the problem, because now I need to be monitoring.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Did they get your name at the front? Oh, they're not letting me in. I'm getting the text. I'm trying to think about what I'm going to say on stage.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're gonna do that, at least for me, you got to get in early. As soon as it's like... Very quickly.
I agree.
It can't be a 2-3 days before the show. That's ridiculous.
I got a text once. This was from a coworker that I was like, yo, you want to come see him perform? I got you. I'll put your name. I got the tickets. You still got to do the 2-drink minimum. I got a text right before the show starts. Running late. Could you let them know? Let them know what? To stop the show? To hold it for you? What am I going to let them know?
That's the worst when people are like, oh, you're performing there on Friday. What time do you go up?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
At 8:23, I'm going to let you... I don't know.
Could you imagine if, you know, Bobby Cannavale says, yo, come see me perform in Broadway, and you go, what scene you in?
When you go, I want to see your scenes and nobody else's.
I ain't trying to see nobody sing nothing up top. I want to wait till you up there.
It's so... I say this all the time. Stand-up comedy is the least... respected art
by
form.
Far
the way people talk to you about
you know
it.
How I know that's true, because right now Tim Ream is listening to this and mad that we've compared this situation to his.
You're gonna sully my career path.
You know how hard I work.
Unbelievable. So shout out to Tim Ream setting some boundaries.
Yeah, good for you, bro.
Okay, last thing, we have to get to Stephen Fry, but I just want to make sure we do this. I mentioned this.
Stop throwing stuff on the pitch.
Javier Aguirre, coach for the Mexican national team.
Little context, by the way. There's photos of him flipping the bird at the Honduran fans.
Okay.
So that's important. Not Does not make this okay.
Does not make it okay.
But just so you know, this wasn't some randomized attack.
This is a, what you call it? So they're playing, this is against Honduras.
Yeah, Honduras. Honduras wins 2-0.
Yes, which is a huge win.
They've beaten Mexico before in CONCACAF Nations League, but this is a massive, massive win.
Yeah, and he, I mean, look, and it's terrible to see. I mean, we're looking at a photo of somebody threw a full beer can at him, and it's brutal. I mean, he got hit in the head, and we're seeing he was bleeding. Also, remarkably, just continued shaking hands
just
with the man.
Kept it moving.
Took a missile to the dome.
I think his daughter is a Puerto Rican boxer that was just because Shorty got the split eye and was like, this is all good. Just
keep it going. When they
hustle up.
When the ref in the boxing match was like, hey, you good to keep going? She's like, yeah, I'm good to go. I'm like, honey, you need to look at a mirror now. You should not keep going.
Most people don't have, what is it? Five eyelids. I couldn't do the math.
Alex thought he was like, are we lizards or something?
Because I was going to say three, and then I realized there's two more on the bottom. I just want to make sure. Anyway. Most people don't have two mouths on their faces.
So ridiculous. I mean, we don't have to tell people listening to this, like, don't do that. Yeah. But I mean,
I think it's important to know.
This is him walking around after, and he's just
casually
just like, look, and we see him, he kisses the ground, he picks up some of the grass on the ground and kisses his hand. I mean, showing, even though he's going through that and just got attacked, he's still,
even in the post game, he goes, no, these things happen.
Yeah, this is,
and I think that's almost like, it's a shame that you take that tact, because we kind of got to remind people, this is not okay. Don't do this. Most managers aren't going to get beamed in the head with a can or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell from the still image. And just keep it moving.
Yeah, dude. I had seen the from our dear friend, Emilia Lopez, who was on the show recently. And she had posted a TikTok kind of talking about this. And just really, and obviously, she's a diehard supporter of El Tri. And just pointed out, like, that the throughout all this sort of negativity, the one thing that she took out of it was the resolve and the sort of, I don't know, swag that Aguirre showed after being attacked. He's just like, he just kept powering through, and she was highlighting, like, maybe this is what the Mexican players can sort of take of just like being be resilient, being able to go through this stuff. And it's like, yeah, this shouldn't be the example of how you get inspired by your coach, but this is like weirdly, like, you know, those, you know, Alexander the Great, like a general that is on the front line.
Yeah.
He's just like, nah, I'm here. I'm the first one. I'm not behind my army.
They cannot take our freedom, no mames.
So a wild weekend in CONCACAF, to say the least.
Do not throw stuff at players or coaches, please.
Exactly. I mean, this is an old man. What are you doing, man? It's like,
you got white hair, bro.
So, don't do it to Tyson. Don't do it to Aguirre.
You know that dude had no idea he was going to hit him. He's like, oh my God, I connected with the guy's head.
Ridiculous. All right, let's get to our conversation with Stephen Fry. We're going to be talking about the upcoming match in the playoffs, in the MLS Cup playoffs, happening this weekend, November 23rd. So let's get right to it. Stephen Fry with the Cooligans. Let's do it.
I mean, this is what I love about this show. We just have a revolving door of absolute American heroes.
Exactly. Shout out to Kale Parker.
Shout out Kale, bro. Where you been?
Our videographer a couple years ago. Absolutely honored. This is this man's second time joining us on the show. Since when we initially met in 2017 after training at MLS All-Star.
Right.
It's just been...
He was training, not us.
we were training for this moment. But it's always been just positivity and great vibes. And honestly, one of the strongest handshakes I've ever had in my life. Yeah. Where
hands so big where you're like, you could only be a goalkeeper.
There's no other job for you, okay? But I'm absolutely honored to be joined by Seattle Sounders goalkeeper
goalkeeper, Stefan Fry. Stefan, what's up, man?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And it's not that I have a strong handshake. I think my fingers are all so crippled, I can't really bend them anymore. So that was probably it.
That was a look. It's a I'm sure we can't be the first people to mention that when you shake hands with people, there is something. If they don't know what your job is, they learn probably pretty
most
quickly.
Most handshakes don't sound like. You know what I mean? No, yeah. Yours does.
I'll take that. I'm going to start paying attention to that more often now.
Yeah, there's a...
You never noticed the people you shake hands with wince?
No, I have not heard that one, but I'm gonna make it my mission now to see if I can get a reaction out of people.
Yeah, I mean, we've shaken a couple goalkeepers' hands. I'm trying to keep him...
I feel like Sean Johnson tries to be soft.
Yeah, because he knows that he could.
I think he's aware that y'all have bear paws strapped to your wrists.
He's trying to be more considerate than me. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's
you're coming hard. That begs the question, like, if you were in a professional football, what would you do? You can't be a surgeon with them hands, bro. You'd be ripping people apart. What would you do?
I don't know, man. I guess I'd like to do art stuff, but you know, it's a funny story to tell because we have a family friend who was a farmer in Switzerland, like literally up in the mountains, and I have never shaken a hand like that. That is like a person that's gone through stuff and has used his hand. So my hands are soft compared to those.
I love it. Is it a thing? Oh, look, we also did not plan to initially talk about this, but my curiosity is just taking me there. But as a goalkeeper, have you noticed your hands change throughout the years? I mean, I know you've dealt with injuries, obviously broken fingers, jammed fingers and things like that. But there is, you know, the way we're talking about it, your paws are pretty intense. Is that because just of years of goalkeeping, or were you like, is your family all have big hands and stuff like that? Is it common?
I guess so. I come from a family of Olympic handball players. My mom and my dad both played Olympic handball, so I guess maybe some of that rubbed off a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you know, throughout the years, like I said, you know, I've done this finger in the back, and because the back doesn't move, the front takes all the brunt. So last year I had to have surgery on the front part. So it's just like it's an accumulation of war stories that just keep on adding to the fingers.
I forgot I had those knuckles. You know what I'm talking about? Like the in-between knuckles your nail and your big knuckle?
They're much more pronounced on
yours are significant. I forgot I had those. Yeah. When I saw yours, I'm like, oh yeah, my fingers bent that way.
No, it's great. I mean, look, and we're going to talk about the playoff
game. Yeah, we'll get to the playoffs.
Coming up, but this is
our finger chat.
There's something, something about Stefan Fry that, you know, goalkeepers, and I'm sure you've heard this a bunch of times, goalkeepers are crazy, quote unquote crazy. We hear that all the time.
Or the goalkeeper union, they're part of their own crew.
Their brains work in a different way. But for whatever reason, Stefan Fry is, I want to say, the least crazy goalkeeper I've ever met. Yeah. I mean, you're a
placid guy.
We see your artwork behind. I assume that's your artwork. I don't know, but I know you are a painter as well. There's a more zen-ness that you offer as a goalkeeper than I think of most other goalkeepers that I've met. Is that sort of safe to say when you compare yourself to other goalkeepers and when it comes to your personalities?
Yeah, I think off the field I'm more quiet. I'm an introvert. I like to do my own things, but I think from an early age on the pitch, I felt like there was no room for not stepping on people's toes. I wanted to win. I didn't want to lose. And so really early on, a lot of people would say like, man, he's a completely different person on the field. And when people came to high school or college and they, you know, they met me off the field first, they're like, oh, it's a very nice guy. And then they were a bit scared when they saw me play. But I don't know. You know, I mean, it's interesting because I grew up watching Oliver Kahn and Peter Schmeichel, which is like the highest of the high crazy you can possibly think of as a goalkeeper. But I think we've had to become more calculated as the game has moved on. You know, we're now involved in very finesse things like playing out of the back and making sure our spacing is good and all those things. So maybe we've calmed down a bit and become more even keel.
I'll give you a quick Peter Schmeichel story. So I work with CBS, so I get a chance to work with him when I'm doing stuff for Champions League. He's amazing. First of all, he's legitimately, you know, the wooden bear outside of cigar shops. this is him. He's just a massive human being. And we were sitting in the press area of the Borussia Dortmund, and he goes, "Do you want?" He grabbed the the media meal. It was like a lunch bag. Mm-hmm. And in it was a muffin. He goes, do you want half of this muffin? Or no, he goes, do you want the muffin? I don't think I want the muffin. I go, yeah, sure. So he unwraps it, takes a bite, and then hands it to me. He didn't say, do you want to share the muffin? The man said, do you want the muffin?
Did you want it?
I'm a germaphobe. Oh, so okay. Now I have a memorial here. I have a memorabilia.
Pierce Michael muffin.
I'm like, I'm not eating this.
I'm gonna open up my eBay account so I can sell this.
I should have sent it to you, dude.
Man, great Peter Schmeichel story.
Not too many people can say they have a half-eaten muffin by Peter Schmeichel. So you're
I almost thought of eating it just because it's BS, bro. Peter Schmeichel.
All right, let's talk a little business because the playoff match between Seattle Sounders and LAFC happening this weekend, and this has been weirdly, I guess we don't necessarily think of Seattle and LAFC as rivals, but I feel like there's been like this organic, I don't know if it's necessarily dislike, but there's the competitiveness comes out in these games, and it's happened for years. What are you sort of looking forward to from a sense of getting back at these guys? Because I know you guys have a lot of difficult matchups throughout the season, throughout the playoffs. Mm. What is Stefan Fry looking forward to in facing LAFC?
Well, first and foremost, to get a chance to play against them again, and obviously in a meaningful match. And I think maybe that's exactly why there is a bit of a rivalry building, because we've been facing each other in what both, I think, sides are viewing as meaningful matches, as in, like, you know, even if it's a bit earlier in a stage of in a competition, that if you get through that game, you're feeling good about your odds. And so I think, you know, when we went down there, we won Western Conference Final many years ago at this point, it feels like. But that was a massive, you know, a massive win for us, and obviously a massive loss for them. And so ever since then, I think when you keep on finding yourselves in matchups where you're looking ahead of that game, if you come out and you fancy your chances, then obviously that is a massive game. And unfortunately, as of late, we've been drawing the short end of that stick. But they're a good side. There's just no two ways about it. And if you want to achieve things, you're going to have to go through a good side. So we're excited that we get an opportunity to play against them in a meaningful situation.
So the way MLS works, especially these last few years, it seems like some of the new teams come in, a lot of spotlight gets on them, you know? And I think LAFC was one of those teams, you know? For as far as we can recall, and from the beginning of this podcast, when we started in 2015, Seattle was that team, man. They could do no wrong. It seemed like the first three MLS Cup finals we went to, somehow it was involving Seattle. Right. You know what I mean? Seattle and Toronto in that time in particular. Do you feel like, in a way, maybe this playoff match offers an opportunity to get a little bit more of that spotlight back on Seattle, that you guys have sort of worked hard to get to this point?
Look, I mean, I think when as the seasons go on and MLS grows, I think that the new franchises that are coming in, they should kind of, you know, break the boundaries and push forward and set new blueprints, if you will, right? I mean, that's I feel like has what has happened throughout. Having said that, obviously we want to stay relevant and we want to keep competing for trophies 100%. And I think we've been fairly consistent. You know, it's just like just looking at earlier this year, you know, we went deep in a couple of tournaments, but then again hit that roadblock where we're playing against a team that is just as good, if not obviously better than us in those situations. And yeah, like you said, if you want to win things, you're going to have to go through good sides. But I see that keep on happening. You know, I mean, what do we have? San Diego coming in soon.
Next season.
And you know, the bar is raised, and I think they can look at the successes of maybe teams that have been here for a while, and then maybe teams that have just come in recently. But obviously, the spending is going up as well. You know, everything. You know, we've just been very blessed into moving into a new facility here in Seattle. New training facility that's state of the art.
Stefan Fry's paycheck getting bigger every year.
No, it's actually
hopefully, I'm hoping.
It's actually shrinking because I'm getting too old, unfortunately. But it's been a pleasure to watch the league grow. But obviously, I think it takes new franchises coming in, seeing what works, and then seeing how the league is progressing, what they can do better, how they can improve. And LAFC has been one of those teams that have shown how to do that.
What's it like? I mean, we're talking about relevancy and new clubs and where the spotlight gets shown, the, you know, even just the Apple deal, even just like the way, I'm curious how, as a fan, I'm like curious how players adapt to this new way of consuming MLS and, like, you know, having MLS 360 and, you know, how much of it versus, you know, all the games seem to be on the same night. Like, how much of MLS are you also, like, consuming? And are you also like, man, they have a studio show and this is, like, really cool? Like, how do you feel about it?
I mean, so to be fair, for me, I don't get to watch too much football outside of my work, if you will, you know, because besides me playing and us doing our scouting and then us goalkeepers doing our other scouting on top of that, 360 is actually a really good show where it kind of like you can keep tabs, let it run in the background, keep tabs on everything that's happening. You see all the highlights. I kind of like that about it. Because honestly, like I said, other than that, I don't really get to consume too much football, or I don't want to, because I need to find that balance in life. It's like, you know, with all the scouting that we do, like I said, it's an ongoing thing throughout the whole week. Then by the time you have your own game, you're soccered out, you know. So you gotta keep that balance.
I think 360 does that for us too, because with all the games happening at the same time, we can't see them all. So at least it allows us to kind of keep track of what's happening. But another big change was the playoff structure. And I know you've voiced your opinion on it, but I'm more interested in playing 90 right to pens. How does that mess up the vibe? If you had those two extra little mini halves, does that allow you a bit of time to sort of get your mind together for pens? Or do you like 90 minute whistle blows straight to pens?
I mean, especially on a three-game series, I think the 90 and straight to pen is probably the smart option. I don't even think that, for me, that's not really my issue. I mean, what I just miss, you know, going back again to 16, again, maybe I'm just showing my age here, but it used to be so important hit your stride towards the end of the season and push that into the playoffs. And if you're firing on all cylinders, even if you just sneak into the playoffs, teams will not want to play you. With this three game first round and then a bye week, I mean, I think Pooj said it the best. They won after two games and it's like, oh, we don't have a game for 23 days. Where does that momentum go? I mean, besides dissipating, there is no other way. It's not going to go up. You know, we're trying really hard to try to keep momentums going. But maybe I'm clamoring more for quality over quantity in games. And I know Apple is probably on the other side of that, right? But, and, you know, if you change that format, then and you say, hey, you know, you have a one game and you're done. Maybe you're putting more emphasis on the actual season again with your seeding, because it is a massive advantage if you only play one game and that game ends up being at home. And then maybe if it is only one game, now we can talk about bringing back the added time and the overtime and decide games by soccer and not by PKs. I think it's still the better way.
Yeah, I mean, and also having home field advantage. I mean, that first round
changes a lot.
It changes the how meaningful it is to have that home field advantage. Because I remember when we were at MLS Cup when the Sounders won, it was CenturyLink Field, now obviously Lumen Field now. But I don't think I've ever felt a stadium, especially that size, physically shake to that. And it's one of the things I'm always going to remember for my entire life. Especially when that final whistle blew and when you guys scored.
The sound.
We were in the press box and we're like, yo, is everything all right? Because this is...
We checked the joints in this place, right?
Hey, what is this? Oak? I'm just checking. It's something that, you want that intimidation. You want that, and the three-game series... diminishes it just a little bit. I mean, you've been in this league a long time, right?
Yeah.
And you've seen not only just TV deals change, not only playoff formats, all this other stuff. Is it as simple as like, hey, look, this is what we got to deal with and we just move on? Or is there a specific format that you appreciated more? Is it the, you know, the
home and away,
single game, like what's your ideal scenario?
Yeah, I've seen it all, like you said, and I don't really have the answer in terms of what's best when you have to take into consideration different viewpoints, not just the one from the athlete side, because it's obviously a business too, I understand. And so I have no clue about all those things. Having said that, you know, even when we played the home and away and you had the home and away goal rule, it sometimes was we weren't sure whether if you played that first game at home or versus whether you played that first game away, which one was the advantage, right? Because obviously they, with the away goals, they wanted teams to come out on the road and see if they can score goals. But sometimes it was more beneficial to go on the road maybe first, be really aggressive, and then take your chances at home. Other teams might view it as, hey, let's get that shutout at home, and then the pressure's on the second game away, and we'll just go for it. So I think the clearest way is just one game. One game, and that way throughout the whole year, you know that even if you don't win support or shield, you're fighting for that one game to be at home. And that takes all the guessing and all the ifs and buts out. There's no way you can argue if you're playing that one game away that you're going to say, oh, we prefer that. Just not going to happen, because there's other things to consider as well that people don't think about with home and away. If I'm home, I get to sleep at home. I don't have to worry about my family. Right? I get to cook my own meal. I get to wake up at my own time and I make my own breakfast. These are all home field advantage things that we sometimes don't even talk about. And so, yeah, for me, I think that would be the clearest way. You say one game, you've earned it. You get to stay at home and you get to do it at home.
I love it.
It's like, it's not just the home fans. It's the home cooking.
Home cooking. Yeah. It's also I my favorite slippers, right? You know, my pajamas that I feel good in.
I know the TV remote is right here. You know what I mean? That's where I keep it. I know
you
it's
got
right
your
there.
Own pillow. You don't have the hotel pillow. You're good to go. You can probably sleep.
Do you have teammates that travel with their pillows?
I'm one of them, yeah.
You travel with pillows?
More than one? Not more than one.
One, just one, yeah.
Okay.
What do you do? You okay? You vacuum seal it. Where do you put it? Do you carry it on?
I carry it on because I mean we're now blessed. We have the charter flight, so it actually even helps in the plane already. But and then you just carry it off. Yeah, I mean we're quick now. We don't go through the airports like we used to back in my day. So that's definitely helped.
Okay. That's wild.
I have to ask this. I don't necessarily want to talk about other teams or other players too much, but. Inter Miami getting knocked out of the playoffs is I'm curious how
they got a big player on there, don't they?
pretty big name on there. But Inter Miami and Messi, Suarez, Busquets, all the Jordi Alba, all getting knocked out of the playoffs. It brings up the question because Jordi Alba had a lot of comments about the playoff format as well. Yeah. He wasn't happy with it. He suggested that the Eastern Conference champ and the Western Conference champ just play one game and that is the champion. And I was like, hey, buddy. Hey, we do things a little bit different out here.
You might not know about commercials, my guy.
Okay, we're here to teach them the way our ways. But for us, we're comics and we do a comedy show about soccer. It's kind of funny. I mean, we're laughing a little bit. I'm curious how the players felt watching this, because I'm pretty certain all of Major League Soccer was watching that game against Atlanta.
Yeah, we actually had a team event. We were eating dinner together at a restaurant, and we had a bunch of phones on the table. We're all watching the game. So, first for me, my first reaction was, man, Atlanta, okay. Guzan, that was the first person I had to write a message to and be like, man, you killed it in the series, So it sometimes shows that I think in the MLS and in playoffs, for me at least, it's that grit, that heart, that determination that can sometimes outshine other things. And clearly Miami has all the talent and all the quality in the world. But I like that about us having playoffs. It's almost a bit of a reset. And I mean, I'm bringing it back. But 2016, we snuck into the playoffs. I think in August we had a 0.something% chance of making the playoffs, and we snuck into the playoffs, and then with the momentum, we took it all away. And I kind of love that because we don't have relegation. And so so for a lot of teams, if you were to find yourself down, and you could just kind of give up. But I think there's always that chance. You know that if you make it into the playoffs, anything can happen. And Atlanta kind of showed that. So, I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta is now on a high. You know, they have the quality on the field, but to be able to do that in three games, come out victorious against Miami is a big feat. So they got to be buzzing, and they're going to be a tough opponent on the east side.
Yeah, you mentioned.
We just also got to give credit to Dax Pirlo, because he had
incredible. You mentioned you text Guzan after that. When you see a goalkeeper get pushed into the back of the net, there's no easy way to get out of that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no smooth way. There's no graceful way out of it. I think he handled it about as gracefully as you could. Is that a primary worst case scenario, like a big fear for a goalkeeper?
No, I mean, you know, it looks a little ridiculous, but I think he did as graceful as he could, because it's a tough one when you're stuck in a net and you're not Spider-Man, so... but yeah, I mean, he let his game do the talking, I would say, right? And sometimes it's frustrating when from the outside you have the favorite seem like they can get away with things that other teams cannot get away with. But instead of complaining, you have to find a way to overcome that. And I feel like you said, with some players that on Atlanta that had an incredible game, I think, you know, for me, again, I looked at goalkeepers, obviously Guzan is one of them. That's the way you respond to that and come out victorious. You don't have to say or do anything else.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a, you know, we were talking about Guzan and just having incredible saves in that series, but he also made a pretty terrible mistake in game two. Remember when he was trying to get rid of the ball and he just kind of
dropped it in front of the Redondo?
I forget who was in his way, but he just kind of just dropped it and an Inter Miami player took it. What was your, I'm pretty sure you remember the play, but what was your thought on that? Because it looking at it, he wasn't touched. It didn't seem like he wasn't really, it's definitely a gray area, but he was sort of impeding and not, what do you think on the referee's decision there?
Well, I'm going to have to obviously take the side of goalkeepers in this one. But,
big shock. Well, we're very surprised.
No, but I'll try to explain myself. It's not a free ball. That ball is not up for grabs for anybody, right? It's in his hand.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I'm going to say. So by the when the keeper goes to strike it, and you make a move towards it, you're making a move towards the ball that is actually not even in play at this point. And now the other thing I'm going to say on the other side is, well, nobody, there was no contact, they didn't move in them. Well, so you're asking him to strike through, potentially hurting himself or hurting someone else, for this to be taken seriously, while it should never even be a situation to begin with, because like I said, the ball is not in play. So I thought that was handled wrong, but... Again, you know, you can sit there then and be like, the world is against us, everything is for Miami, or you can, it's not going to help you, you know, you're going to have to dig deep and find a way. And they did. All credit to them.
They found a way. I know we got to let you go soon. I have one quick question. If you could change any rule in the sport of soccer to make it better or easier or more fun for goalkeepers, what would it be?
Hands down, again. And it's perfect because we started with this one. For me, PKs is not a part of soccer that I enjoy. And not because I'm terrible at them, but because I think that it's not a soccer thing. You know, soccer is a team sport where you have 11 players trying to come together and figure it out and achieve something. And to then go to PKs, it's just, and in the way it is, it's not... So if you can bring in the overtimes again, I think that would be great. If not, then let's just make it a bit more entertaining and let's somehow introduce the old MLS penalty kick style.
The shootout.
Into
okay.
It. Yeah. I mean,
now honestly, we're talking.
Now at least we're talking about someone dribbling, someone, you know, taking a good touch, a goalkeeper reading things, then narrowing the whatever. We're talking about nuanced things rather than just like, you know, media sometimes ask me, hey, it's a 50-50. I'm like, it's not a 50-50 on PKs, first and foremost. Right. But it is just very simple. And I think the sport is way, way more than that. And maybe going back to that kind of PK format where, you know, someone takes a wrong touch but then has to recover and still is able to recover, maybe we're giving them a little bit more, right?
But it has to feel – I mean, the odds are definitely favor the kicker.
That's what makes saving a penalty
it
feel
has to
amazing,
feel,
right?
I mean, what do you feel when you do make a stop? What is that initial feeling?
I mean, it's great. It's an amazing feeling, but it's funny because the one I saved against Houston in the end, I saved with my foot, with my leg, and I think the week before that, I had some of our media ask me like, "It's a 50-50, go left or go right," and that just kind of proved it to you that I can go to the proper side that he kicked it to, but look, the ball ended up behind me and too high, so I had to use my left foot. So there's way, way more. And yeah, I mean, as a kicker, if you ask me if there's kids watching your show, pick your spot and just put it there. Because if you put it there in a fashion with good pace, good placement, chances are a goalkeeper's not going to do anything about it.
Okay. Wow. Here's my idea. Free kicks from long distance getting shorter and shorter as you go with no wall.
A crossbar challenge just to win the game.
Yeah? Okay, let's do crossbar. How about this? We wheel out a TV and a PS5. We play this joint FIFA.
Hey, you know what? I think pretty much every locker room at this point plays ping pong in their locker room. So maybe we'll just wheel out a ping pong table and we'll go your number one against our number one, and we'll go to 11. We'll see what happens.
All right. Everyone will be really confused in the stands as to what's happening, but I like it.
We're going to wrap up. We just have two questions from our Patreon members, our supporters group, as we say, Gully okay. Squad.
Check out our Patreon if you want.
Yeah, patreon.com/soccercooligans if you want to ask questions to the guests. This is from Justin Freeberg, who is also a goalkeeper in his Sunday league. I know that. And he says, who is the biggest shithouser amongst fellow goalies and other goalkeepers? Is anybody comes to mind?
Oh, man, you're asking me to speak up against the union? Come on.
who's the Emmy Martinez of MLS?
Okay, I would say I remember, obviously, Tim Melia doing the wrestling impression on Christian Roldan at our place a few years back. Right.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic. So,
I might have to go with Tim Melia.
Yeah. Okay. Tim Melia, who's now no longer with Sporting Kansas City. We'll see where he ends up. But
you'll know because you're going to get a text when this episode comes out.
that's a great shout. Next one is from Kyle Ritchie. He says that Stephen Fry is my son's favorite goalkeeper. He was a goalkeeper and he paints. Stephen was the one who inspired him to stick with both. How does making art help the mental aspect of your game?
Oh, man, I just love hearing that first and foremost. So I appreciate that. But for me, obviously, it's about balance. You know, I think as athletes, we're under an enormous amount of pressure. As goalkeepers, I would argue we're under more pressure because if I make a mistake, inevitably, I've never played a perfect game, probably never will. But inevitably, when you make a mistake, I can't charge after the ball to try to rectify my mistake. So it's a brutal place at times. And so you need to find ways to get away from it. And that's why I say I don't really watch too much football. I try to, you know, paint, video games, family, things like that are very important that can balance you out, let you forget about these stresses. And it doesn't have to be art, you know, it's just for me, I'm more of a destroyer, if you will, as a goalkeeper. And you know, in the studio, I'm more of a creator. I get to create things and that hopefully bring joy to people. And so it's a good balance for me.
Love it.
That's awesome.
You mentioned video game. Any games that you're currently playing or were playing that you enjoyed?
Yeah, I've been on Destiny for a long, long time. So I have my own crew on Destiny too. We've been doing that for a long, long time. But I think when preseason comes around, either we're going back to Warzone or Fortnite with all the guys when we're in Spain or wherever it will be.
Love it. Yeah, I remember, wasn't Christian Roldan like streaming on Twitch playing games for a little bit? Like,
yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, for a little bit. I don't know if he still does it, but I was like, all right, this is cool to see. All right, maybe one day.
Yeah, during the pandemic. No, I used to stream as well during the pandemic, and so did Christian and a bunch of us. Yeah, but time has passed. You know, Christian has a little girl now, so
you know, can't be streaming, lighting fireworks in the house like Kyson at.
Yeah, life moves on.
All right. Well, the playoff game between LAFC and Seattle Sounders is this Saturday, November 23rd. I mean, I'm with 10:30 p.m. Eastern time and, you know, whatever, 7:30 Pacific. But, dude,
it's going to be a fun match.
Best of luck. It's going to be a great game. I know for sure. Always entertaining between these two clubs. So, but best of luck.
There's always a Cooligans bounce. So don't let us down.
You know? All right. Okay. I'll tell my teammates.
Your hands are even going to be thicker in the main goal this weekend. It's going to be crazy. Stephen Fry, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Shout out to Stephen Fry.
Ah, what a mensch.
just a great, dude.
Yeah, dude. You can tell, man. He's at home. He's an artist.
He's an artist.
He's calm. He's chill. He's relaxed.
Uh-huh. He just lives a different just life. I thought he should be wearing like a hipster beanie. You know what I mean?
He pops on the show like, what are you silly guys up to?
Okay. Chillest goalkeeper
really
I've ever met.
He gets on a pitch.
Dude, 11 clean sheets this season?
11 or 12 total, right? 12 all competitions.
Yeah, dude. The dude is no joke. Sounders could sneak in to a little, maybe an MLS Cup appearance.
He did surprise me by saying he doesn't like penalties. You know who else doesn't? Gotham.
Yeah, so we got to talk about the NWSL semifinals.
Wow.
Let's start. Washington Spirit face Gotham at Audi Field. And a game, Esther gets
a beautiful header,
similar to the one in the NWSL championship last season.
It's kind of frustrating because it's like everyone could see it and like you can't reach. It's like you know those dreams that you like wake up a little too late from? You're like, it can't reach the thing you're supposed to grab. It's exactly what happened.
100%. And then it looked like Gotham were going to hold on 1-0. And then a late foul.
I knew it as soon as that foul happened.
I think it was Nyswanger that fouled. I forgot who.
Pointless, bro.
It was, not really a necessary foul, but kind of throughout the second half, it's stopping a lot of promising attacks.
And also what Washington was trying to do was draw these fouls, get some dead balls.
Yeah, exactly. So a set piece and, from the right side, outside the box, sends the ball in. Hal Hirschfeld gets on the end of it. It's also who was it? Jess Carter, who was playing right back, picked up an early yellow. Mm-hmm. Had to bring in, so Bruninha comes in.
But you don't really need to bring her in. I mean, you're a pro. You can hold it together with yellow.
I mean, look, there were a lot of fouls.
Well, then what did Bruninha do after she comes in? She gets two yellows.
But that's
as a sub.
But it's after. And
the second yellow was dumb.
Yeah, in regulation, though, you want to defend and you want to be able to take that risk and to be a little bit to defend aggressively, which is why you bring in Bruninha. But Jess Carter, I thought, did great.
Sure.
But even on the goal, Bruninha's like there. But we've been in front of Bruninha. Bruninha's a tiny person. She's very small.
I wouldn't say it to her face.
Never. But she is small. And Hal Hirschfeld is not.
Yeah.
It's just a bit taller.
Right.
So Hirschfeld just got on the end of it. And then a great
I think
header.
The subs did Amoros in. I'm going to agree with Darian Jenkins, who said that first. And I completely wholeheartedly agree.
Okay. Yeah. It's just.
How do you get two yellows as a sub, bro?
It's kind of ridiculous. And it's then, that second yellow. Obviously,
and I love Bruninha, bro. I think she's great.
But even still, even with when they were playing with the player down and Bruninha's out, she got the second yellow in the 101st minute. They still had a chance. Esther had a chance.
Oh, my God.
And that stop from Aubrey Kingsbury was ridiculous.
Kingsbury was on one. She had
the same game Brad Guzan had against Inter Miami, bro. She made some unbelievable stops. She stopped it with, I believe, her face or her head or something like that.
It was not the clinical. You don't learn how to do it this way in training. But whatever, the ball did not go in the net. That's all
it
that did matters.
Not. Yeah, it was a great stop. And the Spirit go to penalties.
Well, they go to extra time.
They go to extra time. The whole
extra
thing.
Extra time was
yeah.
But we're gonna go to pens. And I'm thinking like it's a toss up. Anything can happen. It was very much not a toss up.
It was not. There was nothing tossed up or down.
No.
It was not.
This was a put down, not a toss up.
So
this was horrific.
It's disappointing. Obviously, you know, we're obviously big Gotham fans, and we want them to do well. We've had their players on the show. They come through all the time.
They also just, you know, ended the season well. And I thought, like, all right, they built that momentum that you kind of need going into the playoffs. And they seem like the Gotham of old. Like, man, they're turning it on late in the season again, baby.
Exactly.
And then they shut it off.
Ashley Hatch scores the first one. Esther Gonzalez, just they all go to the same side.
By the way, what is Berger, right? Berger.
Anchorchin Berger, yeah.
She gets a hand to it. She's doing the old school step off the line thing,
bro,
too.
Yeah, she's she looked like the photo of Brianna Scurry in the 99.
Bro,
game.
The OG.
She's just literally. She does. I mean, it's an interesting tactic because to me, it doesn't seem like the best way to
but
stop
you're
penalty.
Cutting off the angle. The thing that stops that is if you shoot fast enough
or low enough,
or if you do both of them at the same
time.
Yeah, it it reduces the advantage you've gained. In fact, you now have a negative. You have a disadvantage.
Correct.
But Esther Gonzalez lightly passes it to her.
It's a terrible penalty.
And I was just like, what? You're Esther Gonzalez, bro. I'm thinking you're going to bean it in there.
Yeah.
And she, inside of the foot, very gently.
Just gently goes to the
And that was it for me. Right. That was it for me. Yeah. I was like, oh, not a great. And especially that, because Berger gets her hand on Ashley Hatches and it still goes in because she hit it with such power.
Yeah, nobody, there was no real confidence in those penalties. I think once they gave up the goal to take it to extra time, something happened with Gotham and you didn't see that same level of confidence throughout the rest of that game. But the penalty, McCall Zerboni's penalty.
Zerboni.
She hit it harder, at least, but to the same exact spot, not really far enough to either post.
Yeah, she put it in that range where it's easy to react to.
Yeah,
it.
So disappointing. And then Jenna's nice one does the same thing. I couldn't believe it.
The same bomb fly.
It's those things where, like, oh, she's never going to guess I'm going the same way. And it's
because
like,
it would be ridiculous for me to do the same thing the last 2 minutes.
It just looks so bad based on like on having those kind of assumptions. So disappointing for Gotham, but obviously a great season nonetheless. It's disappointing. It's more disappointing because they had a much better season than they did when they won the championship. And so you sort of expected more.
Right.
And everybody's always talking about, like, look at this super team and all this other stuff.
So it doesn't automatic. But one super team is getting in.
Yes.
Orlando had a tremendous season, almost went undefeated, really lost two right towards the end of the the end of the season there. One of them to Gotham.
Orlando at home.
Casey Curran, to play the final at home in the first women's soccer specific stadium.
Would have been
something, but Vlatko.
That's the disappointing part here because the storyline would have been really cool to have the NWSL championship.
But Marta said, "Yo, get out of here with the storyline, bro."
Banda.
You have your team.
This is look, Orlando probably were down in this game. Dabinho scores that great goal, and it really didn't look like Orlando were worried about it going forward. But the moment, Banda scores another great goal where she is not only she's like a great striker, hold up, but there's a little bit of like, oh, she is not only faster, but she is like. Stronger than some of the center backs, and that's why she kind of
You can't dominate her.
It was great, but really the highlight of this game was Marta's goal in the 82nd minute.
Clock,
back the clock, because there's a certain aspect of she's on a breakaway. Banda defend winning the ball back, great, and sets the ball up there for Marta. And there's a part of me that's like, how old is she now? 30 what?
Six?
Six? Let's confirm. There's a part of me that's like, yeah, she's good. We've seen Marta play.
Right.
She's not faster than some of these 22-year-olds that she's facing.
38. You let them knees cut you up like that?
Are you not going to catch up to that, bro?
Bro, you got two players sliding in the same direction, watching the play with the ball go the other way.
Yeah.
How, bro? She older than both of y'all put together.
This was, that goal was absolutely beautiful. And we're not.
You heard the snap, crackle, pop of them knees. She she juked you.
I mean, look, but Banda winning the ball back. Heads up, great play.
Marta just
not just like this, bro. But right there, sitting them and the
another
goalkeeper.
One. Oh,
and the goalkeeper. This is just one of those, like, you know, I still got it. Yeah. I'm still here.
That would be the game winner because Kansas City would score another one after that.
Yeah.
A penalty, I think, in the 93rd minute. But this was. Where you get that speed from? This is like you know, like your boy got that old Toyota. You know what I mean? The guy is quirky, right? Like you don't pull the handle. You know what I mean?
Right,
you
got to
get out a different way because I don't know how long the handle gonna be on there. You ever be in a car like that and he like really pushes the gas all the way down? You're like, I don't know if this is gonna make it. Don't do this. This guy rattles that ain't supposed to rattle. That's probably what Marta felt in that moment.
There's something this season we've been talking about it a little bit, obviously with the introduction of some of the newer players and how Orlando Pride have just dramatically just changed. Obviously Ali Wa and then also and Barbara Banda. But this it is somehow these youthful players have made Marta younger as well. There's some access to a fountain of youth because she just...
Hey, you know what? Actually, what you're saying is not wrong. Their studies are finding, and this should be worrying for you, that if you spend time around people that are younger and more youthful, you inherit some of that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you become some of that. And it's biological. Like, you're biologically accepting some of those traits.
Ah.
So you, look at this. You're going to be more like me. Eventually. Well, I don't know how this happens.
Well, I also have a toddler at home, so maybe I'm picking up quite a bit.
Yo, so you say Mateo's going to be something like me by virtue of you being hanging out with me? Oh, no.
No, she's, I mean, she looked great in the other, Marta looked great in the other playoff game as well.
She killed it, bro.
It's great to see. I mean, look, she's, we talked about before, she stuck with this team in through the highs and the lows, and she is in, like, so obviously the NWSL final this Saturday against the Pride Against the Spirit at Kansas City Stadium. And you're, I mean, how can you not favor the Orlando Pride?
You'd right almost here? Be dumb.
Yeah,
to,
they look, it's gonna be what's the coach's name for the Spirit?
Jonathan
Hidalgo. I've been watching him a lot more, and I saw a lot of the stuff that they the pregame and postgame stuff. He's like a very inspiring guy. As well.
Something like he's only lost 7 times in his like professional coaching career, something crazy.
Okay,
like
not bad, bro. But I think it's just gonna be a little too much. It's seeing how Gotham, you know, the Spirit didn't completely dominate Gotham, but it's going to be a difficult matchup against the
Pride.
That
might have been during his run at Barca, in that specifically.
Sure. I mean, Barca, the women's team, they have L. It's not in the alphabet.
No. They call them Barca Ona because they took the L out of that.
Barca Wona. Yeah. Let's go. All right, everybody. All right. So, obviously, shout outs again to Stephen Fry. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just a couple things I want to mention. The Cooligans are on Blue Sky now, everybody. If you guys want to, there seems to
be there just maybe a little more tolerance.
That's a little bit, more welcoming. Yeah. Okay, it's not people just being like vaccines to make you trans or whatever that we're used to. We've weirdly become used to it on Twitter. I don't know why. it's refreshing to just be around some sane people and not as many ridiculous bots and stuff like that.
And the only thing that carries over from the previous app is that sometimes we will post something that make you say, I follow these guys, but it's going to be because it's fun and lighthearted.
So go on Blue Sky at Soccer Cooligans.
It's such a refreshing look too. A nice, something familiar.
Exactly. So, and also we were in an EAFC commercial, so you can watch that on there as well. So, so everybody, thank you again for tuning in. Please subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave a review if you haven't yet. And we'll be back on Thursday. We have another another player that is in the MLS playoffs as well. So be on the lookout for that on Thursday. That's going to be dope. And so a lot to look forward to. Big weekend. Club football is back, everybody.
Yes.
Some people can't stand these international breaks, but that
the English.
That is why the Cooligans are here, to get you through it. All right. We'll be back on Thursday, everybody. Take care. Peace.